broadcasting live from the Goggin Cold Hall Studios.
30 seconds.
And now the act you've all been waiting for.
This is the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show.
I am the smartest man alive.
Call Johnny now at 844-5600.
Funny name for a guy.
20 years of sports coverage. This is Nashville's sports original.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
On WNSR 560 on 95.9 FM.
Happy Tuesday, everyone. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you along with Jay Henson, broadcasting out of the Goggin Cole Hall Studios, the coldest team in town, now offering great wages and benefits for drivers to join the team. For more information, you can go to the web, gogginkold.com. We will be with you this afternoon until 5:25 when we turn things over to Braves baseball as the Atlanta Braves begin a series with the Cincinnati Reds. 5:25 for pregame with first pitch coming your way around 5:40. Also, we'll have Preds Talk coming up just after 5. Greg Michopoulos, he covers the Predators with Prednik Nation. You hear him often with Crazy Charlie Sonje and his guest. And we'll look back at not only last night, this disappointing season, and changes in the offseason and more, which I would expect to be the case. If not, then there's something seriously wrong over there off of Broadway. But here's the thing. We got this thing called the NFL Draft coming to town this week, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. By the way, I looked at the weather. You know, yesterday did not look good.
98%?
Yeah, between 1 and 3, it was thunderstorms on Thursday. And then starting at 7 o'clock, 97% chance of rain the rest of the night. It looks like it's getting a little better. So we'll see. Maybe by tomorrow it'll be a lot better. So there's a reason to be a little optimistic about Thursday. Now, Friday, Saturday is supposed to be fine. It's Thursday, though, that the concern. But a little rain never hurt anybody. All right, this is a special treat. We have both of these individuals on our show often, but today they're both in studio with us. Barry Wilner, pro football writer with the Associated Press in New York, and Teresa Walker. She's with the Associated Press here in Nashville in studio. So that means I'm going to be on my best behavior. Teresa and I'm not going to fight with Teresa. Whatever she says today.
Yeah, right.
You know how when you have guests over to your house, it's like, you just give them the benefit of the doubt. That's me today. I'm just going to give Teresa the benefit of the doubt, and whatever she says goes today.
So we can only fight when I'm on the phone and I can't reach out and smack you?
That's what we're saying.
Okay.
Barry, first of all, welcome to Nashville. And we've talked about this. NFL draft in Nashville, Tennessee.
I think it's a natural. And I thought that when the NFL decided to move it around, it was a great idea. It had not really grown stale in New York, but they wanted to make it such a big event that it needed places either outdoors or last year was in AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Texas. Next year it's in Las Vegas. I think it's going to wind up in Los Angeles when that new stadium's ready. So it's going to be going all over the country. And to me, Nashville is one of the great entertainment cities in America, if not in the world. So why not?
And our attitude here is like, fine, if you've had it something before it came to Nashville, that's great. We're going to show you how it's done and then set the bar and set it at a new level. And it's like, yeah, now go ahead and see if you can surpass what we just accomplished. And that was the same way with the, you know, a few years back with the NHL All-Star festivities. And Nashville's kind of, it's not an arrogance. It's just that Nashville has gotten to the point now, Barry and Teresa, that just accustomed to big events. And like this one, it's great. But, you know, we do a thing every year, you know, called the CMA Fest. So we're used to big events. And it's like, this one, great. Welcome. Spend your money. Enjoy our city. But it's a compliment to all the folks that put on an event like this. From, you know, the folks with the government and everybody else, because it's a major undertaking, a lot of volunteers, but it's a city that in recent years have grown accustomed to, you know, playing host to events like this.
I think it's also important that Nashville has an identity that can be mixed in with the draft, and that's music. And
You're going to get that.
And I think they're doing it very well in how they've organized. Obviously, when you get a superstar like Tim McGraw involved, and he's involved in the organizing committee, to bring the draft here. And Teresa just did a great story, which I'm sure she'll tell you about in a minute, in which what kind of a role Tim played and why. And then you get Dierks Bentley and other artists. That really adds something to the draft that Chicago didn't do and Philadelphia didn't do and Dallas didn't do.
Hey, well, yeah, Teresa, you had a chance, I know, to visit with Tim McGraw, which, by the way, I'm jealous.
That was very cool getting to meet Tim.
And the Franks household, we're big fans of Tim McGraw and his music. So, in fact, Tim actually looks like my wife's brother, you know, who lives over in Missouri. I'm not kidding. It's really strange how they look just alike. Although I think Tim sings just a little bit better. But, you know, with Tim McGraw, you've got the sports angle, too, because, you know, he's been in a lot of sports movies. Very athletic guy, but he certainly, and you think about every time the Predators score a goal, what, we hear one of his songs.
I like it, I love it, I want some more of it. And as he said, you know, let's not forget, while he's done just two anthems, you know, his wife Faith, she did the anthem before the Titans' lone Super Bowl appearance back in January 2000, and he was a former minority owner of the Nashville Cats with Bud Adams. So, yeah, I got to sit down last Thursday in the Titans' bubble with him and Mike Vrabel, and what Tim said was that, you know, he was watching on TV, you know, the draft from Philadelphia and thought, that's good. I know Nashville can do better. And he started making calls that night to his agent saying, what can we do to help to get this to Nashville, knowing that Nashville could put its touch on it. And there's going to be over 20 artists playing, you know, at the draft stage, across the river, over at the NFL Experience. And it's going to have that Nashville stamp on it completely.
I think the next part of it, when you have an event like this, Barry and Teresa, everybody then automatically, you know, the stadium over the next 6-7 years, you start have to discuss, okay, what's the future of the stadium? Are you just going to renovate what you already have? Are you going to really try to be a major player, then maybe one day try to acquire the Super Bowl? I mean, the list goes on and on of what else is out there. As far as Super Bowl, it sounds like a nice idea, just like when we were talking about the Olympics at lunchtime, and I remember when Atlanta had it back in 96, you know, I was even thinking then, okay, what would Nashville have to do, if not host by themselves, but at least be a player where you share some of the hosting for, say, a Summer Olympics down the road? But as far as the Super Bowl and stadium, for a city like Nashville, it does that make sense for just a week of, you know, the Super Bowl activities to invest that highly into the kind of stadium that would be required to have an event like that?
The challenge is this. We've got another decade with that stadium, and while the Titans, you know, Amy Adams Strong, Steve Underwood have kept saying that they're not talking about, you know, a next stadium. They're working on trying to make that stadium better, more efficient, you know, more effective, tweaks the, you know, the lights, the sound system and things like that. We all know that something's coming. One, the lease is going to be up in a decade. And then, you know, what is next? We're all thinking about it. They just, you know, they're trying to keep what, you know, that's their house right now. They're making sure the roof's not leaking, you know, everything's still fixed up so that they can keep playing games there. But it's the next discussion. You know, do they just simply renovate it to bring it up to current standards? That stadium was built in the late 90s on the cheap. You know, it's strange to think of it, but $272 million these days, you know, that might get you a sound system at some of these other stadiums. So it's nothing.
Plus, Barry, in 10 years, we may be talking about the NFL because, you know, their goal is to be bringing in $25 billion annually. Right now, they're about 60% of the way there. If you're going to get there, that means you're going to have to expand and start playing football games, which they already have been doing in London. But you're probably going to have to expand to another foreign country, maybe even two. In 10 years, are we talking about the NFL being not only in the U.S., but Canada, Mexico, maybe England as well?
Not with franchises, but with games. I think what we might see ahead, and before I get to that, piggybacking on what Teresa was talking about, the Super Bowl has been handed out for the next, into the mid-2020s. So there's no rush for Nashville to bid on a Super Bowl. But to get one, Nashville almost certainly would need a dome stadium because you can't guarantee what the NFL insists is important of a 55-degree mean temperature in February, early February. And also, if they're going to do an outdoor game again, it would be New York again. I don't think there's anywhere else. Maybe Philadelphia, but more likely New York. But as for the other issue, I think what may be ahead, and we'll find out in 2021 when the CBA is hopefully renegotiated without a walkout or a strike, that we could see maybe a 17th game added to the schedule. I know the players are very much against it, but it's a great bargaining chip for the players. They could ask for 5 more roster spots per team. That's 150 jobs. That's a lot of money on their side. And in return, you get the 17th game, and every team plays a neutral site game. Then you can go, you probably had a bye to the season. You move the Super Bowl back maybe a week. I know the NFL would like to play the Super Bowl on President's Weekend. I don't know if they'll get there. And also, you can condense or even eliminate games in the preseason. Then you have the 17th game, and you can play games pretty much anywhere with the extra bye.
See, I'm cynical, and only because the business world has taught me to be this way. In 10 years, we may be talking about this organization, putting and matching another city out there against Nashville as far as a bid war, whatever the case may be. And you go, well, that'll never happen. I mean, first things first, the franchise we have used to be in Houston. And you start looking at the Rams. You look at where the Chargers used to be in San Diego. Now they're in Los Angeles. The Raiders go from Oakland to L.A. back to Oakland. Now they're going to Vegas. And so that's something down the road, because there's a limited number of franchises, and probably within 10 years there are going to be probably two or three other cities that would love to have one.
There's a difference between wanting to have a team and being able to have that person to buy the team and come through with the money. And right now the NFL is fighting that challenge of getting people to the stadiums in the cities where they are right now. So we, you know, here in Nashville, we've seen the empty seats. We've seen the other teams bringing in their fans. You know, Mike Vrabel and Amy Adams Strunk, you know, in the last few days, this is a destination city. They're trying to get more of their own fans in those seats as we speak. But, could somebody come along with more money? Sure. It's called capitalism.
Your thoughts?
I think it would be very odd if the NFL expands. And if it does, the next city would be London. But I just don't see that happening, at least not for the next decade,
but
as we're talking about.
I'm more concerned with a team like, you know, if all of a sudden the ownership of the Titans decide that, I don't know, San Antonio's more attractive, or maybe San Diego offers so many extra things along the, you know, to lure them. I mean, look, there's been cities to lure other franchises before. I'm not really concerned about expansion at this point. I'm concerned about Nashville being matched up against another city, because another city all of a sudden decides they want to throw everything out to get one of these, in this case, say, get the Titans down the road.
Yeah, but the NFL has other cities that would be more in line to lose a team than Nashville. A lot of others.
Jacksonville's one.
Jacksonville certainly one. Tampa could be another. Tampa really struggles to fill that building, even though it's a much bigger city than Nashville or Jacksonville. Buffalo, without a new stadium. Now, Buffalo's fans are incredibly loyal, and they'll show up no matter what the stadium is like, but it may become a competitive disadvantage in a city like that. I don't see Nashville being in that sort of situation. And one thing the NFL's done with Super Bowls, they've changed the way they award them now. So they don't do a bidding war anymore. And they have teams and franchises give a list or a plan for how they would do a Super Bowl,
right,
what they would do with it, and then they choose the best one. No votes, no bidding. They don't want to embarrass a city that doesn't get the Super Bowl. I think they'll continue that. But again, for Nashville to get a Super Bowl, I think it needs a dome stadium.
Do you have to say, by the way, you have to have the dome stadium before they will award you a Super Bowl? If they say, okay, Nashville, if you have the dome stadium, then you'll have the Super Bowl in year whatever.
Well, they did it in Minnesota.
Okay.
So, yeah, I think they could do it here.
And as far as fighting for relocation and teams and towns that might try to come after your town, you know, let's face it, San Antonio's had their chance. You know, San Diego, they had many, many opportunities to try to build a new stadium, and they couldn't get it done. You know, Vegas, a lot of money. That's how they managed to lure the Raiders over there. And again, that Oakland area, do you really see them getting a team back? They did it once, getting the Raiders back from L.A. That, you know, it's just those amount of cities that have the potential to come in and start trying to lure away a team. It just feels like that market is has its own issues.
So you mean in Vegas, those buildings are so big and those casinos are so huge and those hotels are so big because people actually lose money when they go to Vegas?
Well, the house always wins, Johnny, and you know the house is using that money to build a new stadium.
Teresa Walker with the Associated Press here in Nashville. Barry Wildner, pro football writer with the AP in New York. We're talking draft Nashville and how it reflects upon the Tennessee Titans. And we'll start looking more what to expect coming up this week. And some also I'd like to get some of Barry Wildner's favorite stories from past NFL drafts. 615-844-5600 if you'd like to be a part of the show as well. Just a reminder, if you're going out this week downtown, whether we're talking sporting events, live music, whatever the case may be, if you're planning on drinking, then have a plan. Call a friend, call a cab, have a designated driver. But if you've been drinking, don't get behind the wheel. will. Booze it and lose it. This message brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
A crash with injuries on Nolensville Pike in Woodbine and another on Murfreesboro Pike at Bell Road in Antioch. Traffic is tied up at Berry Hill on 440 and on 440, both directions between 21st Avenue and Murphy Road. Mayfest at Obergatlinburg, a traditional German celebration of spring. Dance around the Maypole May 17th through the 25th. Log on to obergatlinburg.com. I'm AJ Rose with your on-time traffic.
Hey folks, it's the man called Ant from my friend Wyatt, and I haul anything. When I had to move out of my old place, I turned to I haul anything because it's not just a name. I haul anything can help you with moving, office cleanouts, hauling brush or construction debris, cleaning garages, or hauling off junk furniture in Davidson County, Williamson County, and Dixon County. Call 615-499-2218 for a quote. Get it done on time, clean, and for a great price. 499-2218, or find them on Facebook, I haul anything. They work in Davidson, Williamson, and Dixon counties.
Your home is important. That's why GEICO helps make it easy to save on homeowners insurance. Because home is more than just a place. Home is where you have a cute little reading nook for those rainy days when you want to curl up with a good book, but you don't even read, so you just sit in there during thunderstorms and scroll through memes on your phone and laugh in the darkness. The GEICO Insurance Agency could help protect the dark, meme-filled corner you call home. Call GEICO and see how easy it is to switch and save on homeowners insurance.
Winter's over, and lucky lawns everywhere are getting Scotts Turf Builder Halts Crabgrass Preventer from the Home Depot. Right now, buy a bag and you'll save up to $25 on a bag of Turf Builder Weed and Feed. Prevent crabgrass, weed and feed your grass, and save up to $25. Guess your lawn's not the only lucky one. Today is the day for doing, with savings on Weed and Feed when you buy a bag of Turf Builder with Halts. Only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. $25 savings on a 43-pound bag. Selection varies by store.
Screaming Eagle Ready Mix in Clarksville reminds listeners, the men and women of our military dedicate themselves to serving our country. Their commitment and courage keep our country safe and strong. Let us honor those who have lost their lives in the line of duty and salute those who serve today. This message is from Screaming Eagle Ready Mix in Clarksville. Give them a call today for more info at 931-553-4101. That's 931-553-4101. Screaming Eagle Ready Mix in Clarksville, saluting those who make our country stronger.
Nashville Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM has been your home for sports for 20 years. From typewriters to Twitter, fax machines to Facebook, we have you covered 24/7 and on the go. Finding us online is as easy as at Nash Sports Radio. Twitter, at Nash Sports Radio. SoundCloud, at Nash Sports Radio. Facebook, at Nash Sports Radio. Or search your app store for WNSR. 20 years of sports. Anytime, anywhere. From Nashville Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM.
Take Johnny Ballpark Franks on the go by downloading the WNSR app. Search your app store for Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you. Teresa Walker with the Associated Press in Nashville in studio with us, along with Barry Wilner, pro football writer with the Associated Press in New York as well. By the way, I'd like to invite you to check out Penn Station East Coast Subs, locations to serve you, Hermitage, plus the two locations in Murfreesboro, Memorial Boulevard, also Medical Center Parkway. For the entire month of April, try the delicious chicken teriyaki sub with amazing fresh-cut fries and drink at the special monthly price. Penn Station, hot, meaty goodness. Before the show started today, Barry and Teresa, you know, we were talking about me being a lifelong Jets fan. So when it comes to the draft, one of the things that I've grown accustomed to is watching the Jets find different ways to mess up their selections as far as the draft. And not just in the last 5 years or the last 10. We're talking about decades of being really bad about the draft. I mean, I look at just the long list of individuals, just first round along, Hall of Famers that the Jets could have had, but they bypassed them for other selections. I mean, we're talking about a team at one point could have had Emmitt Smith, Warren Sapp. I mean, the list goes on and on, Art Monk, all at the same time. I mean, that's my New York Jets. With that said, you know, your favorite stories, you know, first, I know, Barry, you've covered a lot of NFL drafts as well. Is there a one particular year? Because there's always that poker game going on with these different teams trying to, like right now, Arizona, yeah, we want Kyle Murray. And watch them, and I keep throwing it out there, watch them decide to go with Nick Bosa and get a pass rusher, which then messes up everything as far as the draft, because it shifts everybody down as far as which direction they're going to go. But is there one particular draft that stood out from your experiences that you've worked?
Well, there are quite a few, and I actually wrote a book called On the Clock, which kind of details the draft through the years, how it got started, and some of the crazy things that have gone on during those drafts. And today, with the AP, we wrote it. We moved the story I wrote about the history of the draft, so it's kind of timely to talk about. I think maybe one I would point out is when the Eagles took Donovan McNabb. The draft was in New York. There were a lot of Eagles fans there, and they all wanted Ricky Williams, and they were all chanting for Ricky Williams. And when McNabb's name was announced, and Andy Reid took him because he knew he was the type of quarterback who could run Andy's new offense in Philadelphia, the place went crazy. You know, Philadelphia fans are known anyway for booing Santa Claus. And,
right.
And basically, Donovan was playing Santa Claus that day. And then the funny thing was, a few picks later, Indianapolis was up. Ricky Williams is still on the board, and they took Edgerrin James. And whatever Colts fans were there, there weren't many, they're booing. So, and Ricky Williams, he winds up then having basically an entire draft traded by New Orleans to get him. That was a pretty memorable year. And I'll always remember the Eagles fans in there chanting, and then as soon as Donovan's name was announced, booing. You couldn't even hear the next pick because they were still booing.
Teresa, you've covered a lot of drafts, especially from the Tennessee Titans perspective. Is there? I go back to the original one. You know, when here we are, and there's Randy Moss available. This is when the Titans were still the Tennessee Oilers, and Randy Moss is there. And it's interesting because you look at I mentioned Warren Sapp. Randy Moss got caught up in that as well. Fast forward today, and if you're having this, there'd be no question. All right, so what? He smoked a joint here and there. Back then, it was a different story. And I think a lot of it had to do, and I try to make this point this week, is the fact that it's not that you did it, or the fact that you couldn't put it away for just 3 months from your last college football game to this draft. I mean, whatever happens 2 weeks after the draft, that's a different story. But you couldn't listen for 3 months, and maybe that came into play too. But with regards to some of the drafts that you've covered over this time, Teresa, from the Tennessee Titans perspective, any particular one stood out for you?
Well, that's probably the first one, because that was my first draft with the Titans. I remember being in the rickety media trailer over at Bellevue at the temporary practice facility. And, yeah, we're all thinking, ooh, they're coming up. They could use a receiver. Randy Moss. And they call out Kevin Dyson, and you know the internet is not what it then was, not what it is now, and we're like, Kevin Dyson, what did he do? And you know, Floyd was like,
Al Gore was still working on it, by the way.
Well, and Floyd Reese defends it, saying, you know, it's character, you know, and Kevin Dyson, shoot, you know, he's working at Independence High School down in Franklin, doing a great job down there, Dr. Kevin Dyson these days, because he went back and finished up his studies. But you know, yeah, I mean, you know, no offense, Kevin, if you're listening, but you know, Randy Moss, it's a no-brainer as you look back. You know, there was one draft where an unnamed coach comes in and was talking about a player, you know, it's like didn't quite really want him. Well, that player ended up being Ryan Long, and sure enough, like 5 minutes later, that's who's announced as the Titans pick, I think in the third round. And it's like, they probably heard us in the war room because we were laughing so loud, you know, because it's like, oh, you've got to be kidding me. And it was just, there's been some funny moments like that, but you know, the biggest one, the one I think I liked the most, was 2 years ago. We thought the Titans were going to have the number one pick in the draft, and I get up, I start to look at Twitter, 8 a.m. in the morning, and boom, Titans announced that they had traded their number one pick. It's like, trust me, I've never ran to my home office faster as I was calling New York to say the Titans have traded the number one pick.
See, this goes back to what I've been preaching, and now that we've got the new, it's not like, you know, a quarterback from the college ranks is all of a sudden going to be taking care of 15% of your salary cap. Because, you know, think about this. The Tennessee Titans right now could have Carson Wentz and Marcus Mariota battling it out at quarterback. And it goes to back to my a point about what Arizona is facing right now. They had Josh Rosen last year, and now they're sitting pretty, number one pick. They can get Kyler Murray. So if you're not totally sold on whether or not Rosen is your franchise quarterback, it certainly increases your odds of having that if you've got two guys like that. And think about it. The Titans could literally have Carson Wentz along with Marcus Mariota on their team right now. And we're talking about only 5% of their salary cap.
Historically, that has never worked, though. That's the problem, in that you only can play one quarterback, and you will almost always play the same guy you decide on. Even when he struggles, he has to really be awful to replace him in a game. So I don't see it happening in Arizona. I think they will trade Josh Rosen. But money-wise, yeah. In fact, the point you bring up, Johnny, is a good one. It might make even more sense to have both of them and see which one winds up being the better quarterback, because they come relatively cheap.
Exactly.
But teams won't do it. And if the Cardinals take Murray, they're going to trade.
But see, there was a time when there was not going to be an offense out there that was going to be pass happy, not unless you're talking about those teams in the old AFL, when you had the Mad Bomber with Daryl LaMonica and the Oakland Raiders and Joe Namath with the Jets. You know, then it got into the boring, 3 yards and a cloud of dust kind of thing. And all of a sudden, then you get the St. Louis Rams. Greatest show on turf, and now everybody likes to have a good passing game, right? So,
see, he's forgetting about Eric Coryell and Dan Fouts.
Oh, I haven't forgotten about them. So, but my point is, once one team decides to pull the trigger and go down that path, you'll see others, because how many times are we talking? I like the Jets. I keep bringing up the Jets because they're a perfect example of just being awful with regards to the draft. I mean, name me a great quarterback in Jets history compared to all the busts that they've had over the last 30 years. And that's the problem. Yeah, Chad Pennington, he was okay. But for every Chad Pennington, you had about 15 or 20 guys that I have no idea what they're doing now. So you had some that forget there's a meeting time because they're going to a movie on Saturday, and all of a sudden now they're pressed into starting time and they have no idea because they missed the meeting on Saturday. I mean, that's my New York Jets. But if the first team that decides to go that route, because first of all, economic-wise, it makes sense. But every other position in the NFL is built upon competition. And I don't understand why quarterback has to be different.
The biggest reason is this. You don't have enough practice time under this current CBA to get enough reps for both of those guys to make a true judgment of who's the better guy. I mean, you know, look, as Mike Vrabel said, 176 hours in the offseason that the coaches have through the offseason program with this team, and then they're gone for a month, then it's training camp. There's no more two-a-days. The time in pads have been limited. The simple limitations on practicing mean you just can't get both quarterbacks ready and get a true gauge.
It's even worse during regular season, because you make your decision based on what's gone on in the limited time you have in the off season, and then you get to the regular season and the practice is even more condensed. You play a Thursday game, you get no practice in, the bye, you're required to let the players go for a few days. So it really, as much as we would like to think that competition could happen at quarterback, I just don't see a team making that move.
And it's interesting too, because we've had this new spring league that in the beginning it sounded like a good idea. But
do we remember it now?
The Alliance of American Football, the AAF. But I was really amused at the end. We need help. We need help from the Players Association to keep this going. I'm thinking, oh wait, you want the players that are currently have jobs in the NFL to help this league out, to help players get better, to then beat you out of a job? Oh yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
That wasn't exactly what was being argued.
I'm being facetious.
What happened with the AAF?
No, not Johnny.
I'm being facetious, Barry.
The odd thing about the AAF, Bill Polian, anything he touches usually turns to gold. He's one of the greatest executives ever. He's in the Hall of Fame. But when they had to bring in another owner, the owner of the Carolina Hurricanes, Tom Dundon, they needed his money to keep going, because they underestimated the cost of running this league even for a first year. That's where they got into trouble, because they no longer were running this league, and Dundon had different ideas of how he wanted things to go. What he was looking for was to have access to practice team players and guys like that. And the NFLPA, for its own reasons, decided that a developmental league maybe is not such a good idea. Well, I think that most people would feel it would be a great idea if it's put together the right way, because it's going to create more jobs and it'll create more competition.
It makes sense, but unfortunately, the bottom line is after the first week, everybody tuned out. You know, you saw it in the ratings. Or the first week of ratings, everybody was like, oh my gosh, it was beating the NBA. And then second week, it's like, hello, there's still the spring league. It wasn't just a one-week wonder there. Where's the spring league now? And then we get the beautiful XFL next year.
Hey, I tuned in when Johnny Manziel was on the field for, 5 seconds in Memphis? And, you know, he ran around, lost
so
a bunch of yards.
You were the one.
He had a great completion in that game and then disappeared to the sideline. So, you know, it was a nice idea for a second.
Barry, what's the best advice, you know, with this draft, Thursday, Friday, Saturday here? What is the best advice just from a pure standpoint as a spectator, trying to take as many things in as possible? What would you give them as far as advice wise?
I go on Saturday, and I would. It becomes a festival on Saturday, a football festival. You don't really care who your team picks all that much. Maybe you do in the fourth round, but beyond that, probably not. But there's so much going on outside. If the weather's going to be good, you have the draft experience, which is fun. There'll be concerts. There'll be all kinds of events all around the area. So that would be my advice. I think if you go Thursday, it's going to be exciting. There'll be a nice build-up to where the Titans pick. Johnny, there won't be a big build-up to where the Jets pick. They go third. And I think if they mess it up this year, Johnny, maybe you should find another team, because there's about 10 or 12 players in this draft who are really top-notch, and they're going to get one, I think. but I think Saturday is where I would really pinpoint coming down.
Well, and Friday night, don't forget, you know, the Tim McGraw, and he's not going out there to play three
because
or four songs.
Because Teresa likes Tim McGraw, too.
Well, he was very polite, and, you know, and yes, who doesn't love, you know, I like it, I love it, I want some more of it. My personal favorite was To Live Like You're Dying. But, I mean, he's going to be performing a full set, like an hour and 15 minutes, for free.
And look, we're used to, you know, events where there's a couple hundred thousand plus downtown in any given moment, and whether it's New Year's Eve or whatever, and that's what we're talking about. That's what we should anticipate Friday night. Friday night is going to be a lot of folks downtown in that Nashville area.
And a perfect night. I mean, if the forecast holds, Friday's going to be gorgeous spring day, and it's going to be awesome. And, yeah, there's going to be a lot of people. Barry, we're probably just going to sleep overnight there, right? It'll be safer, easier?
Sleep on our cars, yeah. You know, Tim McGraw did a concert at the Hall of Fame a few years ago, and it was a full set. And, again, I don't think he was getting paid for it. He was on tour. He just happened to work out in his schedule. And because he has a sports background, he understands what's going on at a Hall of Fame inductions. He understands what's going on here at the draft, and he had a role in it. So I think that's going to be an incredible concert. He happens to be my favorite country artist. And I think Dierks Bentley would be a lot of fun on Saturday.
He will be.
And there's fireworks, you know, 5 minutes of fireworks each night. I mean, if you're going to come down here, you know, if I weren't working, I'll be honest, I'd be staying down in Franklin to avoid all of it and trying to camp out and get to the Main Street Festival. But, I'm going to be down here, and it is going to be fun. So just embrace it and enjoy the sanity.
In studio with us this hour, once again, Teresa Walker with the Associated Press here in Nashville. Barry Wilner, pro football writer with the Associated Press in New York. By the way, coming up just after 5, Greg Michopoulos with Prednik Nation. We'll talk Preds, what went wrong last night, this series, for 75% of the regular season and more. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Wrecks with injuries on 65 northbound just before the Vietnam Vets exit, and another on 65 southbound at Old Hickory Boulevard. Traffic is tied up at Berry Hill on 440, especially between 21st Avenue and Murphy Road. A wreck on Murphy Road has traffic down on 440 eastbound to one lane on the left. Prince's Hot Chicken, the original, authentic Nashville hot chicken. 5814 Nolensville Pike in South Nashville. I'm AJ Rose with your on-time traffic.
It's easy to get distracted while you're driving, especially when you're receiving messages like,
it's your brother's birthday. Call him, please.
And this,
you're pitching tonight.
You better warm up that arm, golden boy. LOL.
Oh, and definitely this.
Saw your ex today, Nick. Why doesn't she know about us? Nick.
So silence the distractions before you get in the car. Thumbs down to texting and driving. Brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
You wanted to see me?
Yes, please, have a seat. So here's the thing. When this company brought you on, we took a chance on you.
You didn't have that four-year college degree we typically look for.
Right.
But we gave you a shot anyway. And since then, you've worked incredibly hard and given it your all.
Thanks.
You've been an important asset to the team, but I don't think you can be an intern here anymore. We want to hire you.
You're serious?
Absolutely.
Find your next great employee. Introduce yourself to the grads of life. Who are they? Talent worth knowing about. Young adults of unique determination and experience. An ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or even mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
I won't let you down.
I know.
Don't miss out on a resource many innovative companies have already discovered. Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent. Brought to you by the Ad Council and gradsoflife.org.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You've messed up your daughter's haircut. Do you A, get spiritual?
Mom, where's the mirror?
Beauty is within. Oh.
B, find the positives.
Less time blow drying, more time texting?
Or C, show empathy.
Mom, you really don't have
twinsies.
I kinda love it. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on adoption, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
This is your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR SkyCan forecast. I'm Shannon Holly. For the rest of this afternoon, mostly cloudy with a high near 82. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low near 58. Tomorrow, a mix of sun and clouds with a high 79. For Wednesday night, cloudy with a low near 60. And looking into Thursday, showers and thunderstorms likely, mainly after 1 p.m. with a high 77.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Every weekday afternoon, it's the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show on Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you. Broadcasting out of the Goggin Coal Hall Studios, the coldest team in town, now offering great wages and benefits for drivers to join the team. For more information, you can check them out on the web, gogginkohl.com, NFL Draft. Thursday, Friday, Saturday here in Nashville. All kinds of other activities, too, leading up to the draft. NFL heavily involved this week, especially out in the community, getting involved. And that's one of the aspects when you have the draft. It's not just about what's going on with the players being selected by the 32 teams over the 3 days, but it's a complete involvement of the NFL reaching out to the community in various type of activities. Teresa Walker with the Associated Press in Nashville in studio with us, along with Barry Wilner, pro football writer with the AP in New York. Back to that part of it, and I think it's a great idea that the NFL it flexes its muscles, not just to, you know, put on a great three-day event as far as with the actual draft part, but all the other things involved, because they do have the manpower and the resources to make an impact in the community when they come to cities like Nashville this week.
And this is a special year because it's the 100th season coming up, and they have their NFL 100 initiative, and they're kicking it off with something that's really cool, the Huddle for Hunger.
Right.
A Huddle Against Hunger. And what they're going to do is have a bunch of the prospects and current NFL players putting together backpacks of food and distributing throughout the Nashville area. Each year they do some sort of initiative. But because these are tied in and kicks off the NFL 100, basically the season with this, it makes it, you know, even more impactful, I think.
And there's a Special Olympics event tomorrow as well, and, you know, players all over the place. You know, Javon Kearse is doing a thing, you know, for the Boys and Girls Club on Thursday. So, I mean, there's just Derrick Henry's around. I mean, it's amazing. There's the prospects, there's the former players. If you come to the NFL Experience, you're going to be able to get autographs from current and former players. And those parts are free. It's just the hassle of getting down here and putting your car somewhere and getting over there to, you know, I mean, how many times do you get a chance to go to something like the, you know, the NFL draft? I mean, if you ever, you know, grew up watching it on TV, it's like now you could go and be there and take it in. You don't have to spend all 3 days there, but if you come down, you can say, hey, I went to an NFL draft once upon a time.
Barry and Teresa, do you feel like this is one of these things where if everything goes as anticipated, anticipated because, like I said, Nashville knows how to throw a good party. If everything goes great, you know, so far we've talked about Philadelphia, Chicago, obviously New York as far as hosting drafts, and it'll be going to other cities. How long down the road before Nashville has another opportunity, you think?
That's a tough one because when the original bidding came out that the NFL was going to do this, 22 franchises were interested in hosting it. And some cities probably won't get it. But I do think that the cities have already had it will not get a repeat opportunity for a while. We have Las Vegas next year. I expect Los Angeles to get it the year after that. And I think there's some other cities that would be not only intriguing, but that the NFL would like to place it in. The best job so far has been Philadelphia. So that's what Nashville's... And as Tim McGraw said, I guess, you know, that's what Nashville has to aim for. And I think it's very possible to put on just as good or a better draft. But I don't think it'll impact the next 10 drafts where they wind up.
What about you, Teresa?
Well, again, you've got to get in line, and there is a lot of competition for this event. And, you know, Amy Adams Strunk helped put this, you know, push this across the line. And, you know, but, you know, Nashville puts on a good show, puts those good vibes into the air. Certainly their name comes up. People will think about it, but, you know, there's a lot. That's how marquee this event is. It's tough to get. And Nashville's got it. You got to make the most of it while you got it.
When you have those intangibles, I mean, now that Vegas will be a part of the equation in the near future, already, well, we're talking about they already have an NHL team as well. L.A., New York, Vegas, Nashville. I guess you could throw into that mix South Florida just because of the ambiance and everything else that comes with Miami and South Beach. But as far as what Nashville has to offer and these other cities I just mentioned have to offer, besides a great city, a great place to come visit, but you've got that entertainment package part of it that some of these other cities that are out there as far as, you know, cities that actually have NFL franchises, they don't necessarily bring that type of element to any of these events.
That's probably why it's been in Chicago and Philadelphia and Dallas, maybe not quite so much, and here and Las Vegas, because you need that extra element. And the NFL says it wants to have some sort of iconic presence. And Nashville certainly has that with the Opry and with the Ryman. And obviously in Philadelphia where they use the Art Museum and the Rocky statue as part of it. Chicago did a great job there with Grant Park. So you need things like that. It's going to be interesting next year to see what Las Vegas does because you can't shut down the Strip for any event. So it'll be somewhere near the Strip. It might even be at the stadium. No one's really sure. But that's a bit of a challenge. But then again, they can learn from Nashville, which is basically shutting down Broadway for how many blocks?
At least 6 blocks.
It gets shut down, believe it or not. It gets shut down several times a year.
For the CMA.
But other events, too.
New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
So, and Nashville has got it down to a science. I mean, you look downtown, especially on Broadway, they've got those crosswalks, true crosswalks that look like an X, so they can keep the people moving when there is traffic moving down there.
As far as when we think about... From a standpoint of what Nashville has to prove, not only to the NFL, but the everybody that's coming to town, what does Nashville have to show this week, Barry?
Just be Nashville. As I said, Johnny, it's one of my two favorite cities in America to visit. And part of it is the culture here. It's just a fun place. So be a fun place. That's all they need to do.
Look, help me here. Was it because of the TV show all of a sudden Nashville became the it show, or was it just several factors there that came into play? Because it just seemed like overnight this city. Look, we always knew. In fact, I would always talk about when I would see things on New Year's Eve back when I first moved here in the 80s and throughout the 90s. And it's like, why does Nashville, why is everybody... You know, their hotel employees are taking that week off between Christmas and New Year's because there was nothing going on here. So then we get the Music City Bowl, and then we started adding events to it. But, you know, for the longest period of time, as far as New Year's Eve was not a place. You didn't want to be in Nashville for New Year's Eve. It wasn't an exciting destination place for New Year's Eve. Now it's a different story altogether.
Nashville started throwing parties, and the more parties they threw, the better they got, and they got the NHL All-Star Game and showed what they could do with that, and then the Stanley Cup Final showed that they could just pack all of Broadway with people, you know, I'm sorry. I went out there to try to take a look at the stage before the game three.
Have fun with that.
Oh, I couldn't get past the door to Wolfie's there because people were like, they were body to body to body. Thank God everybody was in a good mood. But, you know, that's the thing. Nashville started showing that they could throw parties. People would come, and they just started throwing bigger and bigger and bigger parties. And Nashville just keeps, they keep coming to the, to the challenge and showing, hey, you come. I mean, there's a reason why we're the bachelorette, capital of the world.
Don't even get me there. Go
Johnny,
home with that.
I would also add that I think the explosion of country music has played a big role in that around America. I live up in New York, and country music is very popular up there. Kenny Chesney comes to town, plays stadiums, sells it out, football stadiums. And I think that people want to go to the home of country music. They want to see where it originated. They want to go to the Opry. They want to go to the Hall of Fame. They want to go to the honky tonks. I think that it has a cachet that Nashville maybe didn't have 15 or 20 years ago. I'm not sure the TV show had much to do with that. But there's just Nashville has an image around America of the birthplace of country music and the way it has developed over the last, 20 years to become so popular. I think people want to go there. And here's another thing. Nashville's not a hard place to get to. You can drive here. I drove down from New York. Now, I know I'm crazy, but I enjoy driving. You can drive here from a lot of places, and there's not a lot of cities you can say that about in America. A place like Kansas City is not that easy to get to, and even up in the Northeast if you're from anywhere else in the country or California. But Nashville's not that hard to get to, and I think that has a lot to do with it too.
I think the only problem, everybody loves, visitors coming to town, and that's great because that's one of the reasons why we don't have to worry about a state income tax. The problem is, now it's not just rush hour. You see, driving difficulties throughout the day. And, the city did not keep up with all the folks that have moved here. And so it's almost like you visited and had such a great time. It's like, okay, let's pack up the bags. Instead of going out to L.A., we're moving to Nashville. And that's been one of these things. And, maybe not enough folks in power, they weren't proactive enough. Proactive in so many different ways, in ways as far as like with the convention center and everything else. But as far as simple things like roadways, et cetera, we're way behind.
Well, Phoenix and Orlando have had the same kind of problems. So it's not just a Nashville problem. And it is something you'll need to address here in the city at some point. But that's not going to take away from the attraction of coming here and visiting. And I think that this draft can help even more.
And again, 20 hotels opening over the course of this year here in Nashville. Nashville's opening its arms to bring more people in.
And just like this week, it's not just we almost had a game 7 tomorrow night as far as the playoffs, probably a game 1 on Friday night downtown. We've got the marathon this week. We've got all these concerts already scheduled for 300,000 plus, something like that, as far as total attractions. And that's just what we can, just a handful of things. There's other things too, but just another week in paradise.
Well, I think that it may not be paradise so much on Thursday if we get the bad weather, but if you get really good weather for it, that helps too. It's not something anybody here can control, of
course.
The
weather is improving. And in fact, I'll go over that on the other side of this break. Once again, Teresa Walker with the Associated Press in Nashville in studio with us, along with Barry Wilner with the AP in New York. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Wrecks with injuries on 65 northbound just before the Vietnam Vets exit, and another on 65 southbound at Old Hickory Boulevard. Traffic is tied up at Berry Hill on 440, especially between 21st Avenue and Murphy Road. A wreck on Murphy Road has traffic down on 440 eastbound to one lane on the left. Prince's Hot Chicken, the original, authentic Nashville hot chicken. 5814 Nolensville Pike in South Nashville. I'm AJ Rose with your on-time traffic.
The Final Lap with Carrie Murphy is on.
Hey, you see, this Cole Custer has debuted a new social media video series called Cole Custer's Cold Custard Reviews. Now, the first episode has been posted already, and it features a review of... yeah, you guessed it, a cone of frozen custard complete with taste and texture reviews, and that's pretty much it. Grab the link for yourself and check it out on his Twitter account, at Cole Custer. And here he is talking Talladega Super Speedway for this weekend.
I mean, Talladega is so unpredictable, it's pretty tough. So you pretty much just got to go there and be aggressive. I mean, you got to be there at the end of the race, but if you're not making those aggressive moves early, you're not going to be comfortable with it at the end of the race. So it's a fine line, but it's what you got to do. You got to be aggressive and try and stay up front, but that's just how it is, really.
Okay, how about a little recap of the driver point standings after a rare NASCAR off weekend? We begin with the Cup Series. Brad Keselowski is in fifth with 2 wins. Kevin Harvick, a goose egg, no wins so far, in fourth. Denny Hamlin has 2. Joey Logano 1. And Kyle Busch has 3 wins and leads by 20 points. In the Xfinity Series, Justin Allgaier is in fifth. Then you got Austin Cindric, Cole Custer with 2 wins. Christopher Bell also 2. And Tyler Reddick leads by 24, despite not winning a race. And finally, in the Truck Series, 5-1, Brett Moffitt, Johnny Sauter, Ben Rhodes, Grant Enfinger, and Stuart Friesen leads by 6, and the entire top 5 is winless so far this season.
The final lap.
If you're like me, you take walking seriously. So you wear Go Walks from Skechers. They're the only walking shoes I know that have the 5 ables. What does that mean? You want walking shoes that are comfortable, breathable, washable, adorable, and affordable. That's the 5 ables, and Skechers Go Walks have it all. They've got air-cooled Goga Mat insoles for lasting comfort. They're made with washable, breathable materials. They're adorable, and they're wonderfully affordable. They're very able shoes. Get Skechers Go Walks at a Skechers store near you or wherever stylish shoes are sold.
Today, business happens here, here, and virtually anywhere. Because today, innovative companies are reinventing the way business happens. And they need people who can keep up. With the expertise and technology to get packages to over 150 million delivery points. So, who can help you deliver the future of commerce? The United States Postal Service. See why we deliver more e-commerce packages to homes than anyone at usps.com/future.
Part of you won't be satisfied till you eat food that's hot and meaty. You want Penn Station East Coast subs, grilled steak and onions, baked bready goodness, and fresh cut fries. Answer your craving. Penn Station, hot meaty goodness.
Visit Penn Station East Coast Subs in Hermitage and the 2 locations in Murfreesboro on Memorial Boulevard or Medical Center Parkway. For April, try the delicious chicken teriyaki sub with amazing fresh cut fries and drink at the special monthly price. Penn Station, hot meaty goodness.
Call the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show now,
615-844-5600. Welcome back. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you, along with Jay Henson, broadcasting out of the Goggin Cole Hall Studios. We have a few more minutes remaining with Teresa Walker with the Associated Press here in Nashville. Also, Barry Wilner with the AP from New York. As far as one of the games that I love watching, especially first round on Thursdays, it's my favorite night. Only because I love all the games that are being played by the teams and the GMs behind the scenes. What are some of the ones that stood out for you, Barry?
Well, the smoke screens are always sent out there, and obviously the one that people always point to is Ryan Leaf and Peyton Manning going back in the 98 draft. And in that one, right up until maybe the last day before the draft, there were people who thought that Indianapolis was going to take Ryan Leaf, and Bill Polian had ruled out Ryan Leaf weeks before that. So the smoke screens are out there, and teams like to have them out there because it might – push people off the scent of who they like. Really, as Gil Brandt says, and Gil Brandt's the guru of all drafts, don't believe anything you hear this week.
How about you, Teresa?
Well, I always like talking to Floyd Reese, Rustin Webster, now John Robinson over the years when we're getting ready for the draft, but it's lion season. You know, take what they're saying with not just a pinch of salt, a box of salt. Go get a mountain because, you know, they're trying to misdirect and lay the smoke screen. My favorite draft memory, though, when Minnesota couldn't get their pick in that year.
I remember that.
I mean, it's like, you know, you've spent months, weeks, hours preparing to make your first round pick, and they couldn't get the card in before the clock expired. It was amazing.
They had a trade worked out, and then it backfired, and then I think Jacksonville jumped in and got the player that Minnesota was going to take.
Two things I'm looking forward to: Arizona, which direction they go, whether they go pass rusher or they stay and take Kyler Murray. And then if they keep both of those quarterbacks or end up trading Rosen down the road. The other one, the New England Patriots, six of the top 101 picks, they have them. So the reigning Super Bowl champs, they've got picks and they can do anything they want with them.
And Belichick will trade. I guarantee he makes a bunch of moves.
How about you, Teresa?
I just want to see what the Titans do. Are offense, defense? You know, that's my big question. I'm curious because I think they can go either way, and I can make the argument for however they pick. So I personally, I'd like to see, with this being a deep defensive line draft, I'd like to see him go get somebody to help Mariota.
But see, I go back, especially on the defensive front, if there's a big rush on the edge rushers or in those defensive linemen, I mean, do you take the eighth or ninth best defensive lineman at that position, or do you all of a sudden take the first or second best at another position, like wide receiver?
You take the best guy there. Doesn't matter what position.
That's why they stack the boards.
All right. By the way, just want to say big thank you to both of you. Teresa Walker in studio with us with the Associated Press here in Nashville. Also, Barry Wilner, a pro football writer with the AP in New York. Thank you for doing this, and enjoy your week. I know it's going to be busy. Try to have a lot of fun this week.
That's the plan.
All right, hour number two on the way. A chance to talk Preds and more. Greg Michopoulos with Predneck Nation. He's coming up. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.